just goes on down the line, and the list goes on.
Love these chats we get on Fightful Select. People are, saying that the show flew by. Is Sean able to drop the scoop he got? No. I was told somebody is around at AEW tonight. I can't say who it is.
Fair enough. Well, I'm gonna touch upon some topics we didn't have time for on the live show because there is some interesting stuff here that I want to talk about. The first one is Kanese Mobley.
Yeah.
Now, anyone's not familiar with that name, that's the lady that was working as a writer for WWE. She appeared on a podcast. She acknowledged that she didn't know anything about wrestling, and that she wasn't sure of Bobby Lashley's name when he's the WWE champion. She ended up getting fired from the company, and she got a lot of heat online. And the reason I want to talk about this is because this has been a problem for two decades in WWE, mm-hmm. and it is not Kanese Mobley's fault.
No.
That Vince McMahon chose to hire somebody with television experience and not wrestling experience. It's long been an issue going way, way back. I remember back in the day, you could go on when they were working with like Indeed.com or something. You could see the qualification requirement for a writer. They wanted you to have, like, they wanted people that wrote for SNL, wrote for soap operas, wrote for comedy television shows. That's what they wanted. And if you didn't know wrestling, they didn't care. This has long been an issue. For Vince McMahon, you need to have people that know the product writing about the product, and it's not Kanese Mobley's fault. Now, I will say it is her fault that she didn't care enough about her job to find out the name of the WWE champion, because she damn well should have known the name of the WWE champion. But it's not her fault she was hired without experience, and I thought that her getting shit on for not having experience was unfair.
Yes.
This is a Vince McMahon thing. And again, not a new one. Going back years, this is what he's been doing. For some reason, he wants wrestling to be looked at the same way as Hollywood. And so he wants Hollywood writers not understanding that you need to understand how wrestling works. Wrestling is not the same as Hollywood. You and I have talked about this at length many times on this pod.
Yeah. And she shouldn't have done that podcast straight up. Full stop. Shouldn't have done it. I've talked to WWE writers in the past that they got a little bit of heat for mentioning they worked for WWE because they're like, oh, that's looked down upon. I think that's stupid. That's stupid. That's like,
especially now. I mean, they're on Fox or on USA. They got the Peacock deal. They're no slouch now.
But I mean, it's very reminiscent of like how you had to pretend to not be a wrestling fan years ago. Couldn't pretend you played video games or all that stuff. Oh, sorry. Popping painters is fine, but don't like video games. Get rid of that shit. Like, people, we know WWE has writers. Just let them. They sign NDAs. I don't know if she broke her NDA.
Right.
But the wrestlers that I spoke to said that her not having wrestling experience or knowledge wasn't the issue, because people come in there all the time without wrestling knowledge. Yep. And they said even her admitting that she didn't wasn't the issue, but they felt like it was a dismissive tone in how she represented some of the stories, and that she recounted some of them. And
I mean, she called them Bobby Ashley.
Yes. That's something. If you don't know the name, I wouldn't even mention the name.
Right. Especially when he's the guy. It's not like you're talking about somebody working the main event taping. You know what I'm saying? So that definitely wasn't a good look. On to Jimmy Uso. So everybody knows what happened to him. My question for you is, how long of a leash do you think he has?
So I talked to a bunch of people backstage. Really, I didn't have to solicit any responses. And the thing is, it was like a lot of people were disappointed and frustrated. They're like, he's given the opportunity of a lifetime here to be involved in this angle. We know what that can lead to. He's had this issue before. He's had 4 alcohol related arrests in the last 10 years. One of them he was found not guilty on. That's important. But I did have a longtime WWE employee that brought it up. He was like, man, look at Rob Van Dam. He was suspended, had both of his titles taken away for what he did. And this is Jimmy's 4th arrest, 3rd DUI. And up until yesterday, the WWE line would always be, this person is responsible for their personal actions. And I actually had wrestlers asking me, hey, did they send you that when you asked for comment? And I said, no, they didn't. And it's the first time they haven't. And they said, well, good, because he shouldn't be responsible at this point. WWE needs to step in, mm-hmm. and not just to save a great talent, but to hopefully save his life and save somebody else's life.
Right.
And that's the concern, man. Like, the reason I don't drink personally is because when I was in high school, we had a lot of drunk driving deaths, both people who were innocent and people who, teenagers who would drink, get behind the wheel and get killed. Mm-hmm. After that, it was never appealing to me. So I don't have a lot of, leash to give people in that situation. You just don't fucking do it. That's it. Just don't fucking do it. Call an Uber. That's it. There's no reason to not do it, or no reason to do it.
Yeah. And he's definitely playing the odds every time he does this. And it seems like he needs help for him to keep doing this. I know he just came back from injury, and I don't know if he's still feeling the ill effects from the injury or not. I don't know, but
even if this is the first time he's done it in 2 or 3 years, he needs help because he did it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Well, I want to move on, and I want to ask your thoughts on this. So do you remember a few weeks ago I asked you about Triple H and Nick Khan?
Yes.
And I asked you if you thought that Nick Khan had essentially exceeded Triple H in the pecking order corporately, and if Triple H would now kind of need the green light from Nick Khan, you know, to make certain decisions. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm asking you that, the reason I'm bringing this up again now, is because Hunter said something about Samoa Joe that I just don't buy. I think it's complete bullshit.
Yes.
And so I want to bring it up. So Samoa Joe was on the Out of Character podcast, and he said that after he was released, he sent a bunch of text messages to people to thank him. He sent one to Triple H, you know, to thank him. And he said that Hunter got back to him and said, give me some time, I'm working out a package. And then, as we know, he brought him into NXT.
If you want to work out your package, use BlueChew.com, code Fightful.
So Hunter was then interviewed by the New York Post. And the New York Post asked him about Samoa Joe and about him being released and you know, being brought back to NXT. And this is a quote from Triple H. He said, it's all one big company. Everybody knows what everybody's doing. There was an opportunity for him, meaning Joe, to transition. No different than you would say, well, he was released from his pitching contract and started managing the team and became a coach. It's
that
a similar.
Not true.
I think it's absolutely.
That's not true.
No, and I believe you and I agree. I think it's absolutely absurd.
Yes.
Because if you wanted him to transition, you would sit down with him and discuss a transition.
Maybe they did that before. Jimmy, okay, sadly, this isn't a pat on my back situation. I knew 75% of the most recent firings over the past few months were getting fired before they knew it. And they didn't know. And some of them, like Tyler Breeze, that was not something that was a surprise to the up, up, down, down crew, but he's still doing that. So what they're going to pretend they had like some sort of meeting with him ahead of time and be like, oh, hey, by the way, we're firing you from this very highly paid wrestling job. This is not the way it works. It didn't happen like that.
I mean, obviously Triple H is different than the up, down, down guys, but it still feels to me like he did not know. It feels like the left hand and right hand, you know, there was miscommunication. I don't think Hunter knew. And I think that when the news broke that Samoa Joe was released, I think at that point, Hunter probably scrambled because he wasn't happy that he was released. And that's when he probably scrambled and then they were able to cut a deal and they were able to bring him back. I don't think Hunter knew before it was done. And that's why I question, because we're pretty sure that Nick Khan is probably now one of the catalysts for these financial related decisions. That's why I'm wondering now if he has exceeded Triple H in the pecking order. And I'm going to be very curious to see how that dynamic continues as things go along here, because I've told you what I think that their exit plan is for Vince or their succession plan. Nick Khan's going to be, he's already got a lot of power corporately. He's going to get even more. And so I'm going to be very curious because, yeah, when I read that quote from Hunter, I thought that's complete nonsense. There's no chance that you can compare that to transitioning from a player to a coach or whatever he said. Absolute bullshit. And it sounded like he was just trying to kind of cover his tracks. And,
yep,
you know, so.
We have somebody saying, what are you drinking, Sean? So I'm drinking water, but I understand it looks a little bit different. It is like a baseball bat mug.
That's cool.
It's got the red.
You just got that, didn't you?
Yeah, my wife got it for me.
Because you went to the game the other day, right?
No, I didn't get it there. I got it beforehand, but I did go to the game Saturday.
Oh, okay.
What made me so happy to be at a game. I'm going to a soccer game, going to a football game this year. I'm going to go to every damn thing I can possibly go to.
Sean, shut up. So the province of Ontario.
Not going to a Blue Jays game, that's for sure.
Yeah, the province of Ontario. So we now have zero COVID deaths. And I believe we have 197 cases in all of Ontario. And what's the population of Ontario, Camillo?
Around 7?
No, more than that, I think. I think it's more like 11 million, I think,
okay,
in the province of Ontario. 197 cases province-wide, and I can't go to a ball game. I can't eat indoors at a restaurant. And the only people in my company are the ones that are here voluntarily because I can't make anybody come in. So kudos, Ontario government, and good job, Sean, that you can do whatever the fuck you want in the U.S.
Yeah, if I get a raise, I'll be able to do a lot more. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So one other thing that I want to ask you about in regards to the same situation. So you know how when all these releases were ongoing,
mm-hmm,
and there was speculation, including from people within the company, because you told me there was speculation that these releases were happening because they were preparing for a sale. And I told you that I did not believe that to be true. And I explained on the podcast what I felt all of these releases were in terms of valuation to the company. Mm-hmm. And I think that it probably added about $100 million to the valuation. All of these releases combined probably added about $100 million to the valuation, which sounds like a lot. But when you're probably going to get over $5 billion, $100 million is really not that big of a difference.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you. It looks like WWE is about to settle a class action lawsuit brought on by some investors to the tune of about $39 million. I'm questioning now if these releases were done not because they're preparing for a sale, but if they were done so that settlement cost could be a little bit more digestible. Because obviously the WWE knew this was coming. This did not hit him in a left field in terms of the settlement or in terms of this lawsuit. Do you think that all of these releases and them telling everybody budget cuts, the catalyst really is this legal settlement and not a pending sale?
I don't think that it's the catalyst, no. I think that they're just... I think it's a natural adjustment. I don't think it's necessarily a catalyst because of that, though. But I do think that might be a factor for sure.
So do you think that they believe their roster was inflated, like bloated, and they wanted to cut it back?
It was. And it was. They've been talent hoarding for years and years.
Right.
They did not need all the people that they had. But what does it say for your vision and for your financial responsibility when you can cut 80 people in 15 months and still have a good size roster where people aren't being used?
Right. A lot of them. Yeah.
A lot of them. We're talking about John Cena and Becky Lynch coming back and all that stuff right now. Like Lacey Evans is out with a pregnancy. You've got Keith Lee out. Reckoning hasn't been used. The Miz tore his ACL. The Bray Wyatt hasn't appeared. Sasha Banks hasn't been on since Mania. Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch haven't been around. You've got a bunch of people in NXT. Tegan Nox just came back. Danny Burch has been out of action. There's a lot of people that just aren't even used.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, the next thing I was going to ask you about was Tegan Nox. So She returned to NXT this week at the Great American Bash. I thought her entrance was cool. Always reminded me of Jericho's debut. With, you know, the lights go out and then there's the battery thing. And then they had the lights come back on in stages, kind of like a battery, you know, generator charging up or something. I thought that was all cool. And it looks like they're going to put her with Candice LeRae because when she got hurt, she was feuding with Candice LeRae. But here's my question. So she worked a dark match at the Raw taping this week. Did they do that because they wanted to kind of see how she was ring wise? And the reason I'm asking is because Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed did work a main event taping. Remember, we were wondering, oh, maybe it's just a dark match because they want to see how they're doing. That was a main event taping, and Tegan Nox worked a dark match. Do you think that they're thinking already about a main event call-up for her, or do you think it was done because they just want to see how she looked in the ring?
I think it's in case of a main event or main roster call-up, and it was so stupid to not just wait till Friday. Just wait till Friday. Right. You know it's getting out. Mike Johnson or myself have broken the news every single time that somebody's there. Just wait till Friday. She's returning on Wednesday or Tuesday. Wait till Friday.
Right.
That was a boneheaded move.
Especially when she wasn't wrestling on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
She's standing there.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. Well, last one for you, Sean. Vince McMahon, wrestler stealing stuff. So if you go way back, and this might not even be the first one. So Jake the Snake Roberts takes the $1 million belt, puts it in the bag with Damian. That was one of the first ones. Jean-Pierre Lafitte steals Bret Hart's jacket. That was a popular one from 95. I'm sure there's a whole bunch I'm missing in between. But within less than 2 months, Sean, In less than 2 months, Ricochet steals Sheamus's clothes, Shinsuke Nakamura steals Baron Corbin's crown, and now Jinder Mahal steals Drew McIntyre's sword in less than 2 months.
Oh, we were in danger of seeing one on AEW, but I heard it got changed. So I'm glad that it got changed.
Because of all this bullshit on WWE?
No, just because it's a lame-ass angle.
Okay.
it's a dog shit angle. Okay. That's why. I heard about it, and I was like, oh, that's bad. And then somebody was like, oh, well, I think they changed it. So that's good.
It's unfathomable. Unfathomable to me that they're doing this. It's just so silly that they're doing this. And you know, I was watching Great American Bash last night, and I know it's you know, Vince isn't overseeing it, or he's, you know, he's not making all the decisions. The finish of the women's tag with Candice LeRae when Tegan Knox came out, and the finish of the men's tag title match almost identical.
Yeah, I hated the finish of the women's tag title match.
Yeah, but they were almost identical, where one bounces into the other, and then it's a roll up and a pin. And I saw that and thought, well, I'm a little surprised, because like in NXT, NXT, I'm a little bit surprised, but the stealing wrestlers' property, holy shit, dude. Three of them in less than 2 months, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's supposed to get heat?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they think, and it's not good. It's stupid. It's
really bad.
And Ricochet really stole one after he got his ass beat.
Right, that's right. Yes, he did.
Ray asked with the mug. It's all right. It's definitely a novelty thing. It's not as good as like a glass or something, but it's super cool. Like, I love
it. Does it have a handle on it, or is it just the bag?
No, it's one of these. I'm getting our mod Hannah one of these, actually. She's a Cardinals fan. So
okay, stands up, though, yeah? It's not round on the bottom?
Yeah, it's like the barrel of a bat.
Okay. Cool. That's all I got for you, bud.
Guys, thank you all so much. Spread the word of Fightful Select. I can't tell you how important that is. I can post whatever stories that I can, but if you guys say I like Fightful Select, it goes a long way in telling other people. Q&A show this week. Figure Haul every single week. I've got over 30 of them in the can, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to post a new one every single week. We got plenty of content coming your way. Until next time, guys, we're out.